Good evening, everyone. You guys are close. That's good. I hope. Don't get too worked up. Hope you brought a hanky. I want to share a little bit with you is that we're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm not jumping ahead of the weekly meetings, but this is where the Lord had me in my readings, and something kind of the Lord's been impressing upon me over the last couple of weeks in my personal devotions is that it's never fun to admit this, but he's reminding me of who I was and how I'm a different person now. And as I read this, he's giving me quite a few examples, and then it comes to the point after so long of spending time in the Word and seeing what He's teaching you with His consistent teachings. You either have to accept it and push on, or you have to be stubborn and not grow too much. So I want to share this with you. It's from the book of Romans, chapter 12, and we're just going to look at the first two verses. I'll read them, and then I'll help these, maybe get a little bit of reminder. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's pray again and see what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for each and everyone that was able to come out, Lord, and even people that were able to tune in online. Thank you for this time, Lord, and thank you for your Word, the freedom of it to look into it and to discuss it and have fellowship, Lord, and to be blessed by it. Thank you for you being the God of truth, and let's pray, Lord, for your blessing on this, that we would be reminded, maybe that we would learn something new, Lord, or be freshened up. But I pray, Lord, first of all, that you would be honored and glorified through it, Lord, and that we would have a better view of you, and to just be drawn more to you and be more thankful for who you are, Lord, and what you do for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. I know this is only devotional, and I'll try to keep it that, but I just want to look at a couple words as we look through it. But I was going to translate what the King James says into modern-day understanding. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And the word beseech has the same idea of urging you. And so what kind of interested me here was God here was giving us very easily to be understood principles, but he wasn't forcing it on us. This wasn't a command to you must do this. This is what blew me away in the last couple of weeks. Seeing God's mercy and as he teaches us and understanding who we are is what blew me away. I just finished reading about Lot, and that God called Lot righteous, right? And Lot, by probably many people, you would hardly think that he was a righteous man, just how he lived and how he ended his life. And what's amazing is that when Lot first had his faith in God, must have been until the end, he probably never grew very much, and the Lord knew that when he accepted him. He just had enough faith to be saved, and that's what the Lord required, right? And look, eventually when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, Lot wanted to move a little closer, and then, well, those guys are probably not going to be too pleased with me, so he moved up into the hills. He would have moved up into the hills to probably continue to look back on his life, right? And then he went on with his daughters, seemed to be staying in sin and not really growing very far in his Christian walk. And God knew that. And he still accepted him. Blew me away how gracious and merciful and loving God is, that he just needs a little bit. And so what I was seeing here, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice. Again, we see God's mercies as Paul says, therefore, because of what he's taught in the last 11 verses, Paul says, therefore, I really encourage you guys to do this, is what he's saying. I urge you to do this, brethren. So this is for Christians. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. this is what encouraged me as well. In my failings and in our failings, God knows that we're going to continue to be messing up. And that he understands that. And he accepted us knowing that. But that must never be an excuse for living in sin or choosing to disobey God. You can't use that as an excuse. That's not going to be acceptable because I don't think it'll go well. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that has the idea of offering a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or fitting service. As I was doing some readings, the people back then would have understood that with the Old Testament sacrifices, this is very interesting. The Old Testament sacrifices, when they offered a sacrifice, it would have included the whole thing. Like they had something for the blood, they had something for everything, the fat, everything, right? And so this is how Paul is addressing us. In the verse 1, he's talking about our body, and in verse 2, he's talking about our mind. So he's encompassing everything. God wants everything, and he wants us to offer it to him, every single bit of us. We're going to look at it here in a second here. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the tricky thing for us, and the hateful thing for us, I do say that because it is true, because it's hard to do, and we hate to do it, but that's what God's will is for our life, is we have to say no to our body's desires, things that often that we love to do, I think, are not always pleasing to the Lord. It's true, right? I know what God has been dealing with me lately and reminding me of, you know, it's not pleasing to the Lord, right? And it's our bodies, what do we do with our bodies? Well, we walk, we see, we talk, we hear, we listen, we do things with our hands, we go places. That's what our bodies is encompassed. And I just think of, sometimes I'll watch a show or something like that, try to keep it pretty clean, usually pretty strict, and when I slip up, Grace is usually not too far behind, or she walks in at the right time when something slips, and I'm like, no, I stop watching it. But they're just an example of that. I was just watching something there last night, and there was a couple of dirty words, and I let a couple slide by. This is just an example. And then eventually, I was like, that's enough. Just turn it off. But something like that, if we choose not to give our life wholly to the Lord, just some example of what we see, if we just let it continue to slide, what happens is we lose our fellowship with the Lord slowly, and it gets suppressed. We can still be Christians, and we can still do all kinds of spiritual things, but I know for a fact that our prayer life is diminished. Our prayers are shorter. If we have time to pray, we read our Bible, and we still ask the Lord to teach us, but it's in a distance. That's what those little things do. Watching, going places, hanging out with people, the association, all those different things. God says, you have to live holy to have this perfect will for me. He's like, I'm not going to force you to do it, but I want you to do it. That's what he said. This is what I recommend for you. And the idea behind beseeching and urging is that he's really trying to get this message across to us of high importance. Like I said, not forced, but this is something you really should consider. And he says, holy and acceptable God, which is a reasonable service, fitting. I would almost think that this is the least that we can do to God is to live holy for him. I remember when I first got saved and we had to give our testimony at the school. I remember part of my testimony, and I sure felt like that, and I sure still feel like it now, even though in reality you mess up. But I said, he gave his life for me, and the life least I can give him is mine. That's what I said. I do try to do it. And I found this quote from a Saint Chrysostom. I should even check if that guy's Christian, but he does say something pretty solid. I know that's bad, but what is a living sacrifice? Something for us to think about. He said, how is the body to become a sacrifice? It's something that we do every day because it's living. Back then it was old. It was killed and offered to God. But we're a living sacrifice. This means we do this every day. It's on a continuous opportunity that we continue to offer things to God. Every decision. What is a living sacrifice? He said, let your eye look upon no evil thing. Scripture does say that. It has become a sacrifice. Let your tongue speak nothing filthy, and it has become a sacrifice. Let your hand do no lawless deed, and it has become a whole burnt offering. But this is not enough. We must do good works also. Let the hand do alms, the mouth. Bless them that despitefully use us, the ear find leisure evermore for the hearings of Scripture. For sacrifice can be made only of that which is clean. Sacrifice is a first fruit of other actions. Let us then, from our hands and feet and mouth, and all of our members, yield a first fruit unto God. And another thing that blows me away is what I shared about Lot and what I learned here, how God says, I encourage you to do this. I'm not forcing you, but I encourage you to do it. It's very important. But it's up to you. Is that we know that God is love, and our relationship to God should be the same as our relationship to our husband and wife, right? If we love each other, we should do things to make things more pleasing for the other, right? And I remember seeing the statistics about this, but if you really want to see a change in like your relationship or something like that, it's like you start. If my wife is pouring out for me, well, then by natural inclinations, I would reciprocate it back to her, right? And so when we walk with God in a holy manner, behavior, well, then our love for him is going to respond back to him. And it's going to be natural for us to want to be holy. We want to return the favor to him. Like I said, it's the least we can do. He said, live a holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And the second part of our holy sacrifice is our mind. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. This isn't, you guys all know about this, but it doesn't take long. I can tell you, those are the perfect example. Christians, as much as we think that we have an influence with them, if we hang around them long, it's going to be them coming on to us. We're going to start acting like them. Very few, I mean, obviously that's not, they're going to affect us more than we're going to affect them, probably, mostly. Do not be conformed to this world. They're going to mold us into being ungodly. That's what this world is. It's ungodly. It's against they want us to think like them. That's what I said with the mind. The world is against God and is slowly going to chip us down so that eventually we're pulled back. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the idea of being transformed, I noticed, was that, I'm not Greek, has the same idea of metamorphosis. It's like metamorphosi or something like that. And it says a change from within that's shown externally. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we become brand new creations? Well, it begins at birth, but it begins more and more and continues greater and greater as we continue to walk in fellowship with the Lord and walk in obedience with him. We start doing things his way. Oh, it is true. Well, this is much better than me going and doing this. And the trick of the devil, trick of the enemy, trick of temptations and habits, things that we really want to do, usually doesn't leave us gratified for long. If anything, we're disappointed. It is true, 100%. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm reading in Judges as well in my Bible readings. And here's a good example. God told Israel what to do. Get rid of the nations, get rid of their idols, smash them, cleanse them. And they might have at times got rid of the nations, but they didn't always get rid of everybody. And it usually came back to bite them. And it says here in Judges 3, if I can find it here, God said, so why didn't you get rid of their idols? Why didn't you do this? in Judges 3, they said they would obey him. And it said in verse 6, they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to be their sons, and they served their gods. They didn't 100% follow the Lord, and the world slowly seeped in. They got intermarried. And just like Solomon, he had all those women, and what'd he do? He turned from God, and he started to serve their gods. That's what happened. And God said, if you don't want to get rid of these idols and cleanse out the nations, he said it's going to be chapter 2, verse 3. He says, therefore I also said, I'm not going to drive them out for you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. That's the exact same thing. If we want to live life to the Lord, but pick and choose what we want to give, even if it's a small little thing, it's going to be a snare. It's going to be a thorn in my side, 100%. And it's going to diminish our light. Like I said, we can still come here every Sunday morning, speaking for myself. We can still pray and do right things, but it's getting a little bit dim, I'll say. It's true. And it may not even be visible. It's dim in your head. You know, you're not 100% there. That's what the enemy's trick is. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to have our mind rewired, basically. And it's only through being in God's Word, being around other people, and through prayer, being around other Christians. And that's how you fellowship. That's how you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove and test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how we're going to know. We do things how God wants us. We're going to live holy. We're going to start to see God's will. We're going to start to be truly blessed. Or we could say, I'm guilty of this, and probably many of us are at some point in our life. We can easily find excuses not to really obey the Lord. We can, our past, so-and-so wrongness, those excuses aren't going to count. We have convinced ourselves that it's going to count, but it's not going to. Here, I'm going to give the first example that I thought about was Lot. I already explained that to you. The second one was Jonah. Jonah knew God's mercy, and he said, I'm not going to do your will. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. Right? And he said there at the end of it, because you're a merciful God, gracious Son, I'm not going to Nineveh. He ended up in the belly of the whale. And then to really humiliate himself, he got the gourd knocked him on his head. And God said that to him, right? I know that you're a merciful God and gracious, and not to those wicked Nineveh people, right? Third example would be Peter. And this is, I know Peter came back. He came back with, I guess, a vengeance for the Lord and love for the Lord. But what happened when the Lord got arrested, right? They all fleed, right? And you read the next few moments of Peter. Well, he slowly seeped back in. And I remember learning this at Bible school. I'll never forget it. What happened was, next thing, Peter was there hanging out with the locals, right? Sitting by them. Maybe they were sitting around drinking by the fire. They're all sitting around, hanging around. Next thing was, he was doing, well, he was denying the Lord. Well, before that, cursing, denying the Lord. And then after that, he went back on his own life, right? But the nice thing is that we have for us, and I believe this is a huge thing that God wants from us, is that God doesn't want to force us to love him, to serve him, because that wouldn't be love, right? That'd just be robots. He wouldn't be pleased with that. That's not how God is. He wants us to come to him because he is full of mercy. He is full of grace, compassion, full of love. He wants us to come to him, have our slates, and then walk fresh with him. That's what happened. That would have happened with Peter. He went off and cried, right? Repented. He came back, and he came back with a vengeance. Served the Lord and died. What, he died upside down on a cross or something like that, I think. And I even think of my own life, the times, the motive for not obeying the Lord quickly should never be that you do learn a lesson from it. The good thing is that you do learn a lesson from it. I know when you come back to the Lord, you can look back during that period of your disobedience or stubbornness or slow to agree with the Lord, is that we can look back and we learn from that, right? There's a huge blessing from that, and then we can come back, share it with other people. We can talk with them, we can encourage them. Well, you know what I mean? Then we get strength and we come back to the Lord, and then maybe we have a little zip back. But that's a big thing that I'm amazed with the Lord and each one of you guys. The more we spend time with God and the more we walk with him, the more he reveals himself to us, right? He's a God of grace, not a God of torment or punishment. He's a God of mercy and compassion. He knows our failings, but he gives us free choice to love him. And I guess my, on behalf of Paul, I beg it to live for the Lord wholly, right? That's what he wants us to do. You want every single piece of him. When you go home, I run my sawmill and I have headphones on, and I only have very few stations, and one of them is the country radio. I had to find something else to listen to. Just for what they talk about. You get that stuff in your head and you're thinking about it, and then next thing when you're driving to town and bop into a little song, you know it's not godliness that those people are talking about. I guess I got to find something else. Or what you're watching. Everything is either going to help us grow or it's going to pull us away from the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. I'm going to show you a couple steps that you can really enjoy your spiritual walk, and it's your decision if you want to walk in them. That's it. My will is for you to be holy, as I am holy. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I forgot to say this, and I want to stick it in there. When it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, therefore speaks of what was talked about before. And I looked at it. I was like, well, the verse 11, this is pretty powerful. Verse 11, it talks about Israel and the reason why Israel was placed aside and then we were grafted in that olive branch. And it's interesting how it says in here, he says, we know that they were set aside because they didn't serve the Lord of how he intended them for, right? That he wanted them to be the godly nation, right? And they end up being just as bad as the world, or worse. I think some spots said that they did worse than other bad kingdoms. And God said he put them to a side, and it's by his mercy that he grafted us in there. I think he's called us a wild branch or something like that. But then he does say this in here. He says, verse 11, he says, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. This is interesting. I think this is the warning of what God, there is still a warning in here. He says, in verse 20, do not be haughty, but fear. I think a danger for us is to think that we have a little bit of entitlement. We can be saved, and we are allowed by God's grace. We're no longer under the law. I can have a little choice of what I do in my life and please myself. I can find excuses to do this or that. He says here, he said, don't be haughty, but be in fear. Usually in fear speaks of us recognizing who God is. He's almighty and holy, right? Have awe and reverence for him. But if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. So, severity but toward you. Goodness, if you continue his goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. Not say you're going to lose your salvation. But I think the message here, you know, how the first 12 he starts off with, therefore, he gives us a little reminder that Israel knew that they were God's people, and they probably took that for granted and thought they could start getting away with a few things, and they did. The same could be for us. We're Christians. I'm under grace. Well, that can be a pretty easy excuse to not be quite as holy. And I think even in our best attempts to be holy, we're still not. God says he's high and lifted up, way higher than we can't even fathom how holy he is. And our holiness, the best thing that we're trying to do is probably very, very dim. So the best that we can do is probably the least that he expects of us. Anyways, hopefully that will be an encouragement to you. Not a chastisement if it is. I know how it feels because I got a couple whacks. But Lord, we thank you once again for this. Pray, God, that you would help us to accept it with willing hearts and hungry hearts, Lord, to know you more. Pray, God, that if you pricked anyone's heart, Lord, as you pricked mine over the last few weeks, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us to by faith, respond with gladness and with obedience, Lord, and with a repentant heart. I pray, God, that you would just come alongside us and encourage us and just push us on to the next step, Lord, and help us to understand that you are gracious and loving, and just pray that your will would be done, and we thank you for this scripture, Lord, and thank you for this time. Amen.